I feel very privileged because I have two great minds from different places, seeing different things. And we're really going to look at this. We're looking at the intersection of community and category design. I've got Dustin Robertson with me, who is a category design expert. I've done a podcast episode with Dustin. I love the way that Dustin thinks. Our podcast episode was actually centered around OKRs and the way, Dustin, that you broke down OKRs and how it fits into category design and how it aligns everybody, I thought was absolutely wonderful. So that was a great podcast episode. It's great to have you back here today on our LinkedIn Live.
Yeah, thanks for reaching out and inviting me, Paul. Excited Absolutely. To talk category and community.
It's going to be interesting. I'm excited. And so next, I want to introduce Jenny. So Jenny and I have also had a few conversations. Jenny is in the community space. Now, if you aren't following Jenny's Substack, what she's been doing is she is looking at this intersection. In fact, most of this conversation is run and has been Jenny's idea. So she has been looking deeply at this. And what I love about this, so as many of you out there know, I have a community of community managers. We call it the CM Jam session. We meet together, we share challenges, best practices, and it's amazing to see how and where and how the community industry is influencing many aspects of business. It's not just about support deflection anymore. It's about retention, about product design. It's about product research. It's about so much more. In fact, I think community becomes the center of a business or can become the center of a business. So Jenny's going down this road where she has been thinking a lot about category design and how community plays into that. And so when she told me about that, I was like, oh my gosh, I know the exact person you need to talk to, and it needs to be Dustin. And then I was like, oh, well, let's do a LinkedIn Live about this. So this is going to be a live conversation, and I'm going to turn it over to you guys. I'll be monitoring the LinkedIn chat. So if you guys have any questions as we go along, I'll either jump in with your question or we'll save it to the end, but we will get to those. So let's just kind of kick it off. I think it might be good because our audience is community managers, marketers, and founders. So it might be good to create a couple definitions. So Dustin, let's start with you. Could you just overview category design and what it is briefly for us?
Sure. So we're at a state where software is just ubiquitous at this point. So if you're messaging features and benefits, there's 10 other people messaging those same features and benefits. And so you need a way to talk about yourself that shows how you're different. And the best way to do that is to align yourself to your customers in a way that they want to tattoo whatever you're aligning on their arm. And so category design does that by merchandising the problem you solve to your customers. And then the category solves that problem. And then you are the category leader, your company. And so it's very much, I think, aligned with category where it's not all about you. It's actually the opposite. It's all about the problem. And if you've done the work right, it resonates with the customers to a point where they are out telling and selling your story on a level that you could never do with advertising.
Awesome. Awesome definition. In fact, I have a tattoo. I'm just about to get my Apple tattoo on my wrist tomorrow. So you're exactly right. I'm a huge proponent. Jenny, let's define community for those listening that may not be that familiar with community industry.
Yeah, thanks, Paul. Very essential because there are lots of definitions of community out there. I think what comes to mind for people right away is probably social media communities, but you've got all kinds of different versions of community. So in the context of the word community we're going to be talking about and that I have expertise in, we're talking about peer-to-peer networks. And my particular expertise is in customer communities. So we're talking about a digital space where your customers can come and start a discussion, ask a question, start talking to each other. And they don't have to wait for the brand. They don't have to wait for anyone else. These conversations can just start flowing. Connections can start being built. And those are the kind of communities that I've got expertise in, the kind of communities I had top of mind as I was reading the book that kicked off all these questions.
Perfect. And with that, that's a great segue. So let's jump in. Jenny, tell us a little bit about what you've, what your questions are, what your journey's been, and let's get this started.
Yeah. Thanks again, Paul. I want to say hi to my friend Piper Wilson. Piper, thank you so much for joining. And please, everyone else, please feel free to say hello and introduce yourself on here. We appreciate you taking this time. Paul, doing what he does best, being the ultimate connector, heard some of my questions and concerns and mostly musings and curiosities about the category design put me in touch with Dustin. And so now I can bring these questions to Dustin. And essentially, Dustin, what I want to ask you are the things that came up for me in reading the book Play Bigger, which was my first exposure to category design, recommended by a good friend of mine, Pablo Gonzalez, who's quite familiar with category design and community, and really opened up this world to me. So we've just given our definitions, Dustin. And what I want to start off with is question, one of the first things that came to me as I'm reading this. So should a company first focus on creating a customer community, which again is what I've got my background in. So I'm probably leaning more towards, yay, that. But I also realize the benefits of a category community, which would, you know, serve more than just a company's customers. It would cater to anyone who feels like they're in that category. So what is your take on if a company should create a category community or a customer community first?
I mean, so I'm biased, right? I build categories for a living. I think we might skip that, but that's what we do at DRMG. And so, you know, anchoring everything in the problem you solve and the big change in the world and why that matters. And so if you nail that down, then you're going to be able to build a community of people who care about that. And so I don't really see a way to do it the other way first. I know people do it all the time, but they're going to fall into the trap of that community without that point of view and that problem to solve to rally around. They're going to be rallying around your products, which as the owner of the software, you're like, that's amazing. That's what I want. It's like, yeah, but that's not our community. That's just all about you. And that's not going to grow. And that they're not going to amplify the message because it's self-serving. And so you got to figure out a way to start your community out that benefits them. And it's all about them. And it's not all about you. And more times than not, that's what I see with software communities. It's just all about them. And there's some people who are super passionate about the software and it really helps them. And they're out there being advocates, and that's why people want them. But there's very few where the posts are just constantly about, oh, this is how this just changed my life. This problem is no longer a thing. And this is what I can do now because it's not a thing anymore. And they don't need to talk about your software in that frame of it because you're the software that solves that.
And you know, just for, I guess
if I could, oh, sorry, Jenny, go ahead, Paul. I was just going to jump in and say, I think a good example of this is open source communities. I mean, developers literally leave their job that they're getting paid for and they go and work on these open source technologies. And so a lot of it is centered, to your point, Dustin, around the problem itself. That becomes the motivator, is how can I contribute? Where is this problem going to take us? And how do I, what do I get out of it? Is I get to be the leading edge of this, of developing this technology.
And also, I was recently evaluating this for a company that I'm talking to about hopefully doing some business with. And they are looking to dominate their category. And so they asked me even, well, what should we do first? A customer category or a customer community or a category community? So I was evaluating the pros and cons with them and talking through and really spitballing. And in that, you know, the customer community probably is easiest to start with because you already have those relationships. You could reach out to them, invite them to this new digital home for them, you know, and get it going that way. But the more I think about it, the category community, while it might be the harder of the two options to start, is probably going to have the most long-term benefit with what I've been reading about the long-term play with category and so forth. What are your thoughts on that, Dustin?
Yeah, I think absolutely it's easier to start the customer community, but it's what nobody's doing this to get a 1 or 1 year or 2 year pop, right? You're trying to do this to build something that lasts the ages. So you've got to align it. You can start with the customer community and then pivot it to align around their problems. I'm sure if you have them engaged on your problems, they'll be very happy when you flip it to their problems. I would just start there to begin with. But yeah, I get it is harder. Mm-hmm. Category, like when we build these categories for companies, it's strategy that it's with a capital S. And so when we're done with it, they're very excited while we're making it. And when we get done and hand it to them, most of them are very scared because like, whoa, I have to go birth this into the world and then own it and pay it off and enroll people in it. And that's all very hard. But when you do it, the outcome is just so hands down better than anything you could have done otherwise that, you know, I don't understand why people get scared to do it. But.
And Dustin, can you give us an example of maybe a company you've worked with and and the category you built for them. Oh, and that like Piper's even asking a little bit. Well, first, let's start with the example, and then Piper, I'll go into your question in just a second here.
Sure. So there's one that just raised their Series B. So it's Mosaic. Mosaic.tech is their URL. And they, this is a great way to kind of focus the problem, because the problem was their problem. They were finance leaders, and they'd worked at Palantir, and Palantir solved the fact that finance did not have real-time data in all of their systems by using big data and what Palantir does. And when they left Palantir and worked other places, they're like, I could never do finance again without having a real-time view of the data. And so they came to us, had built a platform that did that, but they didn't know how to talk about it. And so we framed up the problem they solve is actually not just hooking the data in real time, but it's allowing finance to be strategic, as opposed to having to come to the executive meeting with last month's numbers when the rest of the business is looking, we're already projecting 14 days ahead because we have the real-time data in front of us. And so making your finance team strategic is what you want out of finance. You don't want compliance. So they're a strategic finance platform. And the problem they solve is allowing people to elevate to that next level. There's a new level of the pyramid of finance, and it's strategic. And after launching that, they've had that out in the market about 2 years. There's over 5,000 people with strategic finance in their job titles on LinkedIn now. And it's not like all related to them. It was already a movement going. That's an example of like grabbing that empty vessel and letting them start to fill it. But it has gotten way more popular since they started pushing it out.
Yeah.
One example. They do not have a community though. And so you can see they do have really good content though, promoting the problem. And they go do talk to CFOs and VPs of finance about, you know, how hard it is to model out a scenario that came up in the board meeting, and they want to see it, you know, in the next 4 hours. And that would usually require a lot of Excel mistakes and, you know, throwing something back that wasn't right, where now they can just hit recalculate with the inputs and share it. So they're really good at promoting the problem, and they are a prime candidate to probably launch a community. But you can see how it would have been hard to do that first without having really defined their messaging. And they were lucky they came to us before they launched. So they were a seed stage. And so they launched into the world with this messaging, which is pretty rare. Usually people have been going for a while.
Yeah, very smart. Very smart of them. And thank you, Piper. Piper brings up a good question, which I guess I didn't really get into a definition of, because I'm trying to even discern myself the definition of what a category community would be. So Piper, let me give you my best take on this based off what I have seen so far. So I think of a category community like the CMX membership and the CMX community, where it is comprised of a lot of community professionals, you know, and we're all just trying to, you know, learn from each other, gain best practices. And we're definitely all together seeing this field grow exponentially and see this category, right? And I think, you know, take the CMX versus a lot of the community platforms that people work on, they will have customer communities, which help you better understand how to learn their platform and set things up optimally for based off what you're trying to achieve on their platform. So that's how I see a little bit of a difference, because CMX, we are not necessarily customers. We are all just professionals that make up this particular field, or some might say category. That's my take on it. But Dustin, I mean, yeah, we're kind of just coming up with the phrasing here of category community. Is there anything else you would add to say in your definition of a category community?
Yeah, there are a few that exist that focus on their ideal customer profile, and they framed up the problem. So ConvertKit is actually a pretty good one. They're an email marketing automation platform for creators. And they did a pretty good job of aligning themselves to an ICP early on. And you can go into their community, and everybody is essentially a creator or a solopreneur. And so they all have the similar challenges of like, how do I go out on my own? How do I make this work? And so there's tons of people helping people in that community with the similar problems. And yes, when they need to email somebody or something, ConvertKit comes up, but it's a pretty robust conversation. HubSpot with inbound marketing did a similar thing. And then, and I don't know the evolution of how it worked, but they pivoted that into, resellers and agencies who actually will do the inbound marketing for you. But that inbound marketing community is still really strong, and people talk strategy in there all the time about how to do inbound marketing.
If I could jump in real quick, I have a question. And Piper, I have to thank you. a couple. So I want to combine your CMX comment, Jenny, because literally on the CMX thread a few weeks ago, I asked the question, hey, could a working definition of community, and Piper actually chimed in. So I'm going to read Piper's definition, which is: a community is a group of people who share common interests and care about each other's goals and values, which results in a sense of belonging and purpose. And so, Dustin, as we look, one of the things I wanted to ask was, Gwendolyn Evans is the community manager for Wyze. Wyze is a product that is all about home automation. And her community is really unique, or their community is really unique in the sense that people go to that community to learn how to integrate Wyze products into their life. So would you say that is a category community that, would you say that's a company that's done a great job of building a category and creating a space where people can come to talk about problems they're experiencing and how household automation can help them with those problems? Or would you say that's more of a customer community, traditional customer community?
It's hard to say without going there, but it sounds like maybe they've anchored themselves in, you know, the world's better if you can automate things in your home. And so people are coming to be like, oh, what does this new world look like? That would be a category community to me. And you know, the fact that's a great way for them to punch above their weight, right? Like Ring and Nest and everybody else have it, you know, they probably have them, but they haven't framed it up in that way. So people aren't going there. It's like, oh, this is where I learn. Maybe I do integrate Ring in, and I don't use Wyze for everything, but that's where I go to find out, like, this is how you do it in an easy way or a technical way, or that range of options that we all want when we're making a decision like that. So I think you just got to be agnostic to what solution people are going to use. Of course, they're going to talk about Wyze all day long, but I bet you if you go in there, there's people saying, oh, but actually here I use Ring, or over here I use something else. And they don't delete those posts, right?
they don't actually. Yeah.
Exactly.
That's great. That shows they're open to the category. So as much as when I heard you talking, Paul, I was thinking this is a customer community, and yet it kind of bridges a little both, because if they are open to any conversations about their entire category, that's huge. That would be a draw then. That would be great. And there are lots of communities out there who will cut off competitors' names. They don't want you talking about their competitors. And then, of course, so then you know you're only going to hear about that company and their product and their services. In that case, I wouldn't call those category communities. Good questions. Yes. All right, Dustin, I got another one for you here.
Okay.
All right. So this one takes a little bit of setting up, and apologies to those of you listening who haven't read the book Play Bigger, but in there is the magic triangle that is talked about. Okay. And the magic triangle is kind of these three components to planning out your work for category domination, to be a category king, they say. The three sides of this triangle are product design, company design, and category design. And there's certain elements, I'm not going to get into every element of each, but again, I'll say it's product design, company design, and category design. And so as I was reading about the magic triangle, I was also wondering, where would community fit? Because I can honestly see how it might fit into each side. But from your angle, Dustin, where if someone did say, I'm ready to create a category community, which side of the triangle do you think it best fits in and should be incorporated into the planning of?
The category point of the triangle, for sure. Because again, you're going to be able to enroll people in the problem. That's the beauty of category, is it really comes down to you are the number one merchandiser of the problem you solve. And that is, when you've nailed it for the people who have that problem, there's no convincing them. They're just like, oh, this is how you talk about that. This is what it is. And they're going to be telling and selling your story, because that's why we're doing category, because everybody's just comparing us on our features and then they want to know who's cheapest. But if you can get customers to tell and sell your story because you've aligned it to their problem and the outcomes that they have when that problem's solved, like you become a strategic finance professional and move up and wow the board, like those are outcomes people want. And so they will enroll themselves and rally to merchandise the problem that you solve. And so that definitely falls in there, and that's where I put the category. And again, once you have that category anchored, and when we do this work, it changes people's product roadmaps. It changes people's company. And that's kind of why they talk about in the book, because when you do it properly, and that's why it's strategy with a capital S, is it changes everything in the business. It's not just a marketing exercise. It's not just a narrative for the CEO to rally the company around. It is literally going to change every aspect of the business to do it right, right? To become Qualtrics and own like experience management. They didn't just do that in the board, in the back room and like throw it out, right? Like they came to engineering and were like, okay, this is what we're building. This is what we're calling it. This is the problem we're solving. What, you know, does it align?
And I would assume that if you had a company that just said, we are not going to tackle a category community right now, we're just going to start with our customers, then I would assume then that probably would line up with the company design side of the triangle, since that's going to, they're saying that's just what we're going to focus on for that piece. Thoughts? Am I right in that assessment, do you think?
No, I think you're right. I just don't think that they're advocating that you do that, but yeah, obviously.
I want to jump in on that, on the magic triangle there, Jenny, and kind of revisit a conversation that you and I had a while ago, Dustin, which is around the vision, mission, values of a company. And we chatted about how, you know, when we look at the intersection of community into this idea of you are singularly focused on solving the problem, and communities are really, really good at this, or they can be good at this. And I think that if a community manager is lacking engagement, it could potentially be that you have not framed the problem well enough, because if people are coming to that community to solve a problem or to talk about a problem or to geek out about the problem, I don't think you would struggle with engagement. But here's one of the things that I've started to notice as I've been talking with a lot of different community managers. And one of the things that's happening right now, when you talk about company design, is that a community manager might be reporting to marketing, or they might be having to talk to their executive team. And it's all about ROI right now, all about ROI. And a lot of times, a lot of the community managers that I'm talking to that are reporting us to are having a hard time because marketing is trying to say, how do we get leads from this community? That is our singular focus. We need leads from the community. So they're cannibalizing the success. Even if you have a community that's centered around the problem and you're getting a lot of great engagement, I think a lot of brands that don't recognize that they could be category kings are cannibalizing those communities, simply tripping over themselves to simply get leads. And so what would you say, you know, I think you're actually giving community managers out there a very important tool that they can use to work with their executive teams, to work with their direct reports. But when we take this concept of community and category together, what are some of those ROI things that you both would recommend to community managers to think about when it comes to showing the ROI of the community, if it is centered around category design?
Yeah, that's a good question, Paul. And given, you know, everybody's been told to like grow into your valuations right now, and the next round's gonna be hard to raise, like I'm for sure community investment is probably under attack. And yeah, a good way to defend that is just to flip it, because it feels like it's a bottom of the funnel activity. But if you're messaging the problem you solve and you're enrolling that community and it's growing continually of people who are interested in that problem, it's a top of funnel exercise. And that's really they say they want leads from it. I mean, honestly, you have to tie it back to pipeline somehow, not directly. I wouldn't say you need to tag it so it shows up in Salesforce, but you do need to measure the growth of it, the engagement, and then work with the growth marketing team to figure out, okay, how can we remarket these folks? They're interested in the problem. Let's see if we can actually get them to talk to us. Because it does have to do that. But yeah, I think that's how you have to show it. Like, we're doing top of funnel marketing here. Look how many people are joining who want to talk about the problem that we solve and we uniquely have built our point of view around. And if you haven't done that, you can still frame it up to be like, we've kind of moved the conversations towards the problems, less about, you know, the product not working or what we're building next. Cause that's what a lot of them are, right? That's like roadmap feedback, and they use them as customer advisory boards. And so if you can try to pump up the community with the problem you solve and show some traction, that's probably a good way to convince people like, oh, this is more than, you know, a place to have customers tell us what's working, what's not working.
Great thoughts.
And look, community can be a competitive differentiator, and there is ROI in that. If no one else in your category has created a community yet, then it's almost a no-brainer to me that you be the first to assemble everyone working in, or either working in this category or a fan of this category or have an interest in this category, bring them all together in some capacity, and then monitor, how often they are logging in, how often they're coming back, what the top pieces of content there are, all of those things and those behaviors can drive the category forward. If you're looking at the top content and things that they're talking about on a week to week basis, that'll show you as a brand what are the biggest concerns in the category at this time. You know what? And that gives you content ideas. That gives you lots of opportunity to make connections and hold events or create content that is going to be satisfactory to that audience and help those folks. I mean, it all stems from community. You get all of those insights, and there, how do you put an ROI on that? How do you put an ROI on the incredible insights that are literally informing you on how to evolve your category? But I get it that people need to prove ROI. I understand that we're talking about systems that cost money here when done right. So I understand the people who are under pressure to prove that there is a return. But in my mind, there are a number of ways to prove that there is a return. How you quantify that into a numeric value is probably going to be a little different for every company.
That content roadmap is a really good one, Jenny. If you can come up with new nurture sequences and thought leadership pieces from the community and bring those to the team, and then they work, that would be huge.
Yeah. Dustin, I know we're getting close to the end of time here, but Dustin, my third question, you pretty much already answered, because I was asking about any communities you admired from a category perspective, and you already gave us ConvertKit, HubSpot. On the flip side of that question, are there any category communities you have seen out there or attempted to launch that are more like a cautionary tale? And you don't have to tell us the company name, but have you ever seen anyone start to dive into community and just taking all the wrong steps?
Yeah, almost all of them. So, well, I mean, just go look. So look, any software company, and they have a community link in the footer, just click it and then see if the top posts are anything other than things about them. And 90% of the time, it'll just all be about them. And nobody cares about you. They care about themselves. So make your community about things your customers care about, which is their problems, not your software. They will eventually love your software if you focus on their problems. And so that you can just click through. Yeah, we don't need to name names. Go through any of them. Very, very few, rally people around the greater cause, right? And yeah, of course, HubSpot, has been doing it forever, and they got lucky, maybe. I don't know. But it there's a formula for doing it. And sounds like if you want to know how to do it, contact Jenny.
I'd be glad to help. Awesome. So, Paul, as you have been listening to Dustin and I kind of go back and forth about category design and community, how do you see this playing into your work with your clients? I know you're all about connection, ultimate connector, brought us all together here today. So how are you seeing this intersection? What should your clients know about this?
Just the applications and how we have to think about community. And one of the things that I think is so cool is all the community managers I've talked to we're so intentional about how we build these things, because we care so much, because we are also passionate about problems. And so, Dustin, to your point, is I would even go as far to say, and this is a bet, so I don't have any data to back this up, but my bet would be that if you are not thinking about category design in terms of how you even design your community, your engagement probably isn't where you want it to be. Because if you go into that community and all you see is stuff about the company, I would bet that you're going to struggle with engagement. And I know that that is one of the biggest topics inside of community right now, is how do we keep engagement going? How do we keep engagement up? And how do we not moderate? How do we create an organic growth here? And to your point, again, with HubSpot, with some of these other, with Wise, with actually Piper had a really good example with Sephora. I think that this conversation is alluding to, and we're already seeing that the community industry has moved from customer support, and we are moving into lead generation. And it's touching a lot of different places. And so I think this is a highly relevant conversation. In terms of what I do, we build communities for brands. And so I loved, Jenny, what you were saying about, I like to have the founder be the organizer of the community, because that is getting the founder of the company in with the prospective client, in with the customer, talking about problems, discussing challenges, which is only going to inform the product later on. And I think we're coming out of a stage right now where businesses are used to putting together a lot of inside sales, cold, our product, our solution. And we're moving to a place where it's more relationship driven. How can I provide value to my customer, even if the value that I provide to my customer doesn't relate back to my product? I just want to be obsessed with providing value to my customer. And I think it's those brands and those companies that do that effectively and have that abundance perspective. Those are the ones that really do care about the problem or what their customers are facing.
Beautifully said, Paul. Beautifully said.
Thank you. Well, you both just, this was on point. I'm hoping a lot of people out there are getting some great information, because this was a highly contagious conversation, especially on the edge. So thank you both for being willing to come on here and discuss this.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Dustin. I appreciate y'all listening and being open to all my curiosities.
Yeah, those are great questions. Thanks for making me think about category different. Because honestly, I think you first asked, do we ever do it as part of category design? And we do not.
I think Dustin, you know, Jenny may have just opened a whole new customer for you.
Or she can come follow on behind us and launch categories for all these people or communities.
All right, Dustin, we will be talking. Again, thanks to Paul for being our connector, man. Thank you so much. Doing what you do best, Paul.
Absolutely.